All right. Welcome, everyone. This is how to create a mastermind, a five-day masterclass, a five-day challenge for your business. And we have been going through the John Maxwell book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And each person in our little mastermind group gets a turn at facilitating those five sessions. And I've done one, Mason's done one, Linda's done one, Debbie is now doing this one. And so now we're going to actually start on our next session. We're going to start and let each member launch their own material. So all of you get your material ready because it'll be your turn. And so everyone gets to do their own material, and Mason's going to be up first when we come back again on our next meeting. And so stay tuned for all of that good stuff. So you can find us here which Friday is it, folks? I always have to look at my calendar because I don't, the fourth, every fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Every fourth Friday at 10 a.m. So put that on your calendars. It's going to be the same Zoom code every time. We don't change up the Zoom code. So this is session number 5 with Debbie facilitating. And so she's going to be reviewing chapter 9 in the book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. But what we wanted to talk about is, when you get to this point and you have your material together and you're ready to do your own material, how do you launch? And then where do you put your replays of your 5 sessions? And so let's just hear some thoughts. For me, when I was ready to launch, and Debbie will remember this, when I first started and left my day job, which was in the salon industry, and decided that I was going to do this, I created a 5-session mastermind. And I actually launched mine on Meetup and Eventbrite. I don't know if, Debbie, if you remember the old Eventbrite sales page, but I did mine on Meetup and Eventbrite, and I got a nice return, and that's where I launched. Now, of course, these days we've got LinkedIn, we've got Facebook, we've got, Twitter, we've got Pinterest. I mean, there's all kinds of social media. And so when you're just getting started, I recommend that you cast a larger net, a wider net, and try to post it on more, because everything's, so much of that is free. So just go ahead and cast a wider net and see where your audience is hanging out. And that's the big problem, is finding where the folks that you're looking for is hanging out, because everybody has their favorites. I'm sure everybody here has their favorite social media. And the one that they go to most often. And so cast a wider net and just keep track, test and measure. That's the key. Test and measure those results on where you're getting. For example, the other side of this question is, where do you post your replays? Well, I posted mine on Vimeo for the first 2 or 3 years. And of course, if it's a private mastermind, only the folks with the link can see it. And Mark finally said to me one day, he said, what happens if Vimeo crashes? Have you ever thought of that? And I'm like, well, yeah. And he goes, you probably ought to have a backup somewhere. And I don't save them on my Zoom because, I didn't want to keep buying all of these cloud storage on every platform I have. That gets a little expensive. And so I thought, well, where can I put them? That's not going to cost me. Well, of course, YouTube is, you can have a free YouTube channel all day long. So I decided that every time I uploaded something into Vimeo, that I was going to also upload it into YouTube as a backup. So then when I do a free meetup, such as this one, I would make it public on Vimeo and YouTube. And if it was a paid mastermind, then I would make it unlisted on Vimeo and YouTube, and only folks that have the link can see it. I discovered, and of course, we kind of all know this, but I discovered that I was getting a lot more views on YouTube on the free meetups than I was on Vimeo, which makes sense because YouTube is what the largest search engine out there, next to like Google and Amazon. So anyway, I was getting a lot more views on YouTube. So don't overlook that as a great marketing tool if you're going to put out something for free at no charge. If you're doing a mastermind or a challenge or a masterclass, and it's at the top of your funnel where you want to attract folks to get to know, like, and trust you, that's a great place to put the replays. If it's a paid course that you're taping that maybe you did on Zoom, a paid mastermind or masterclass, then all you need to do is make it unlisted over there on YouTube, and only folks that have that link, which you're going to put inside your course, only those folks then can click through and watch that one. And same on Vimeo. But I do say have a backup. So unless you're going to save all of those in your hard drive, and again, that's going to fill up your hard drive. So then the question is, am I going to get an external hard drive? Am I going to start, you know, putting them, you know, on the little saver sticks? What am I going to do with all of those videos? Video takes up more space just because of the fact that's, you know, it's a video. And so make sure that you have a place to have a backup. Don't just put it one place, because if that disappears for some reason, a lot of your work goes down the tubes. And so make sure you have a backup. So that's all I'm going to say about your launching and your posting, and then follow up and test and measure where you're getting the most mileage. And that's where you want to spend a little more of your time. So any questions, comments, or suggestions from anyone on the call today?
I have something that I can share that can be helpful in regard to housing your videos somewhere.
Okay.
And this is something that I pretty much just recently learned about within the last couple months. And so it gives you kind of the best of Vimeo and YouTube and saving on your hard drive. It lives in the cloud. The price is so low, it's almost free.
Okay.
$1 a month is it, you pay based on how much you use, how much like bandwidth you're storing, but their rates are like 0.0003 kind of prices. People that I know that have about 300 videos, and some of them are like long training videos, they're only paying, $20 a month.
Okay.
So for like regular civilians like me, I will never, the floor is $1 a month, and it's going to take me a long time to even need the dollar. Okay. And so if you want, I can throw my link in the chat.
Okay.
Here's the beauty of it. So the price is crazy low. You don't have YouTube sending people off to watch cat videos or monster truck videos. It's your own walled garden like you had in Vimeo.
In Vimeo, yes.
But not Vimeo prices. And they have like, you can choose to have it like, use the word boosted. I don't know what the right word is, but so that videos are delivered well all over the world. If you have worldwide followers, you can select like stations that release it there for a stronger signal. And if you're USA based, you don't even have to get involved in that. And you can have the listed, unlisted, etc.
What is the name of it? Or is it just something that's connected with your, you have an affiliate?
Yeah, I have an affiliate. It's actually separate from the platform that I use for my hosting, but it's called Bunny. And I can put my link in the chat.
Okay.
And if anybody's interested, it's so reasonable and so user-friendly. And so I thought I would be remiss to not mention it just because it's such a help.
Good, good, good. See, that's what we're looking for, is just anytime anybody has a resource like that, we need to add it to our list.
Right.
But again, if you've got some free ones out there where you're just trying to attract folks at the top of your funnel, I still vote for YouTube, because YouTube is such a popular search engine. And even if it bumps you out to cat videos or whatever, if that's what the person normally watches, at least they got a glimpse of you, and they'll come back and maybe subscribe, and to where they get more and more of you. And then once they tap into maybe one of your paid programs, then that's where you can save all of those other videos where it doesn't pop them out at the end of a training, because you don't want them to get sidetracked.
Right. Or you could actually do YouTube as well, because the SEO is so valuable, and that allows people to find you. But like when you're embedding a video in, you know, in an email or on your website or your blog or whatever, it's just so great to know that they're kind of corralled in into your real estate only. And you're not also, as you mentioned, you're not bloating your hard drive with, because videos add up to such vast data.
Yes.
so quickly.
Yes, I agree. So great resource. Thank you for that, Linda. Anyone else have any comments? Suggestions? All right. Debbie, bless you. I saw a little sneeze there. I didn't want to turn it over to you right in the middle of your sneeze. So we're going to actually segue now over to Debbie, and she is going to actually facilitate chapter 9 of Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And so Debbie, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, thanks, Kathy. I'm glad to see everybody here today, but isn't it always when you're ready to talk, you either sneeze, you cough, whatever. So today, first off, I want to mention, you know how you are preparing, you know, each month to do something like what I'm doing? Doesn't it never fail that by the time you come to do the last one, you've figured out everything, and all of a sudden you go, well, this is easy, you know? And I have found this last class that I can split my screen, have my talk on one side, and have you guys on this side. And it's like, duh. And I thought of this during the night. I go, duh, should have known,
Debbie,
that
right from the start. I appreciate that. I understand that as well. And also, when you are the one that is facilitating and you've got control of the Zoom call, you can go to the bottom and click on the participants and also on the chat, and it will open it up off to the side. So you can see if somebody comes into your room, and you can see the chats in real time, and you don't have to keep toggling and losing the screen on seeing everyone. The only other thing I want to mention for those of you that are getting ready to do your own with your own material, I work on a laptop pretty often, and I can do about 20 people very comfortably, and they all stay on the same screen. It's just the, I'll call it our Hollywood squares, just get a little smaller, but I can do about 20 before it goes to page 2. So when I'm doing a mastermind, a paid mastermind, where I want, like, in live real time, and I want to see everybody's faces, and I don't want to have to keep scrolling, or somebody starts talking and I go, who is it that's talking? And I have to, you know, go to page 2 or page 3 or whatever. I like to keep my number less, 20 or less. And so I will sometimes market it that way, that I'm only accepting 20. Okay. So anyway, I'll just,
I think that's a good idea. That's a good note.
Yeah. Okay, Debbie, back to you.
So today we're going to be discussing chapter 9, and this chapter is based on how connectors inspire people. And I want to open this up with this. The setting to begin this chapter is in Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago, where Bill Hybels is hosting a leadership summit. I mean, this is really important to know, because there are a lot of people out there that host leadership summits, conferences, whatever. And it kind of becomes a chore to figure out who's the best. Well, in this case, thousands of people attend his every year. During the closing session, Bill talks about the importance of inspiring others. And he states, how much does it really matter if someone is highly motivated in their work or in their life? Results of the study showed that motivated employees, which might be a little bit different with the way things are right now, but at the time, motivated employees are 87% less likely to leave an organization compared to an unmotivated employee. And to me, that's really significant. And I'll say it's got to be with the times. 30 years ago, or even 20 years ago, it's a different world out there now. And you're just not finding people that want to work. So the results show Everyone benefits from motivation. Everyone wants to be inspired, and some inspire more than others. In other words, to me, it's like your brain is uncluttered and you're able to hear what the speaker is saying. So you're able to take the information and really come to a better understanding. So what do people start to do subconsciously when someone begins to speak? My answer was they start to ask questions. They want to know what is in it for them, and is the speaker credible? Linda, would you have an added note to that, those three?
Those are probably the key. They want to know, do they know what they're talking about, and can they help me, and do they care about me?
Yep. Mason, do you have an added point that you'd add?
When I hear a speaker, if they're up there, I'm going to assume they're qualified. However, I'm looking to see the relevance of what they're talking about.
Right.
If they go on some tangent somewhere else, they're not connecting with me, the connection part. Yeah. So that's, I understand what you're saying, credibility. I assume, dangerous word, they're credible, but then I'm listening for what's the relevance of?
Right.
What's the relevance of what they're saying? Is it applicable to me, to this situation, this scenario? So.
I agree very much. Kathy, do you have a note that you'd add to this list? You're on mute, dear.
For me, I want to actually connect with the speaker. And so for me, I think I want to hear their story. I want to know how they got to where they are today. It goes along with their credibility that Mason was talking about. I'm assuming that they are credible in whatever their presentation is, but I want to know their backstory. Not a lot, but just enough that I can say this person gets me, you know, I can relate and they can connect with me and I can connect. It makes me feel more connected to them if I hear their story.
Yeah, that brings up a very good point. So John developed a kind of formula called the inspiration quotation. Equation. EQUATION. And that is what they know, plus what they see, and what they feel equals inspiration. And like I said earlier, there's a lot of speakers out there, but a lot of them are just what's in it for me. So by using these factors and putting into alignment, will most often lead people to take action. That is significant, because you don't want to just go from speaker to speaker. Well, I got this point from him and this point from her. And so it tends to get mind-boggling. What people need to know is the very first part of this inspiration. Let's look at non-connecting speakers who think they know what the listeners need. So they focus on certain information. That is not so all the time. People need to know you are on their side. That's very important. That, again, they're not in it for them. Aristotle identified an important element, pathos. The meaning of this word is the connector's ability to connect with the feelings, desires, fears, and passions of their listeners. It is a reassurance that they can trust you and listen to you. So, preparing to communicate with others, you need to learn the inspirational language. And you go, well, how do you do that? So you ask questions. So what are they thinking? find out about their organizational culture. What are their responsibilities? What are their dreams? You want to know what they are thinking. Why? That's a good question. Because then I can speak to their inspirational language. This action shows that you are a connector, wanting to sit down and listen before you share what you think. This is key. So what are they saying? And I love this quote by Maya Angelou. The most called upon prerequisite of a friend is an accessible ear. This is also a prerequisite of being an inspired leader or communicator. Good leaders are good listeners. And, you know, how many of us are constantly every day looking for the classes that Kathy has to offer? She's a good leader. Yay. And so how are people listening to what they are saying and what is not being said? Kathy fills us with everything that we need. And if she misses something, she's the first to admit it. She will share the mistake and or the lack of information. So does anybody have any questions so far? Mason?
Linda? No questions, but I do have a comment.
Okay.
I know whenever I come on, whether it's on a Zoom call or in person in an audience, sometimes if it's a stage presentation, I get a little nervous. And I remember Wendy telling me, she's one of my business coaches, and she said, you have to move it from here to here. She said, get it out of your head and into your heart. And so, of course, you know, it's like, okay, what does that actually mean? I mean, I think I know what that means, but how do I put that into words, what that means? And so for me, what that means is as soon as I step in front of a group, I have to ask myself, what do they need? Meaning the audience, what do they need? And then that's where I focus whatever I'm going to say is what do they need? Not what is this going to, you know, how's this going to help my business? Or am I going to, how many people are going to buy today or whatever? I just ask myself, what do they need? And I just concentrate on what my audience, whatever that audience looks like, I concentrate on what the audience needs.
Linda, you have to have that. You're in that same category because of the classes or the sessions that you are teaching to the people that have joined your website. And so what is your feeling on that? I know that was confusing.
I love the question that Kathy asked. It's such a great centering and focusing question. And I think it comes down to just trying to put yourself into your listener, your audience, your student, whatever the person is to you, to put yourself into their shoes and imagine what they need, what their question is, what their big concern is that's kind of eating at them, and see if there's a way to bring help.
Well, I can understand that because you have a very interesting and needed topic for so many people that it's important that you know what they need and you listen to them. And someday I will need your product, but I'm not there yet.
Debbie, before we go on, because yes, there's just four of us on the call, for those that are just listening into this and they're not actually watching us and they're just listening to the audio version of this, just say briefly what each of us are bringing to our audience. What is your overarching promise to your audience? Mine is that I want folks to have freestyle living. And so all of my programs that I'm offering is to try to help folks to actually create some passive income out of their passion so they don't feel like they're working every day and not having to punch a time clock to try to pay the bills so that they can actually live the lifestyle they really want to live. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to help you be a millionaire. Now, you might turn out to be a millionaire once you fulfill your passion, but that's not my promise. Because my promise is just for you to be happy and have the lifestyle that you want. And sometimes even $200 or $500 a month infused into your budget makes a big difference in your lifestyle. So anyhow, so that's what I want to bring to my audience. Linda, what are you bringing to your audience?
What I bring to my audience is helping them to create their perfect end of life plan now and start those conversations early so that they can be a blessing to their loved ones instead of a burden. And if that's an overarching statement, that's easy to say, but it takes a lot of thought, a lot of conversations, and some real changes in the way that you look at life, death, and relationships. And it's worth the time because everything is completely changed in the process.
I love that. Mason, how about you? What is it that you bring to your audience?
Well, when I have an audience, I'm hoping to bring the idea of understanding how you got to where you're at. Understanding that if you're lost and confused and you really can't understand why I got here, not on your resume, but in your story, in your life, I want them to understand, here's a way to break it down. Maybe understand part of it. Maybe help them realize that they may feel isolated because no one else is confused. Everyone else knows exactly what they're doing. No, they don't. So that's what I'm hoping to bring to the audience is that understanding that you're not alone. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to not recognize it, but it's okay to also step back and look at how I got here and maybe, just maybe, how can I point myself in the direction I want to go?
I love it.
That's a good advertisement for the starting of your classes next month.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Good point, Debbie. And yes. Debbie, one last one. What is your overarching message that you want to bring to your audience?
My overarching message is that I want people to see that they have the capacity and ability to do whatever they want to in their life. They're not stuck in a hole. And they're, or I should say, not stuck in a box, because that's better visual, but that, I look at the hardships and that I came through from childhood to now, and I want them to see that I'm doing whatever I want to do now. I mean, I'm chemical free. I am a farmer and I have great produce, and that I want people to see that there's more to leave in a legacy than just what you may see, because that's a broader subject than I ever thought of. And so in my book, I want to show this. I want to open it up so that they can see that leaving a legacy is more than just about you. This is for my grandchildren. So anyways,
I love
that's me.
I love that. So anyway, back to you, Debbie, but I just wanted the listeners to get an idea of what we're talking about. You had referred to Linda's message, and then of course the listeners wouldn't have known what that message was. That's why I wanted to do that. So
and sorry, that was a good point.
But now, yes, as folks are listening to this, they get an idea of what all of us represent and why having a masterclass or a 5-day challenge or a 5-day mastermind is so important for what it is that we're trying to bring to the world. So back to you, Debbie.
Well, and that actually was a perfect segue into my next point. And that is, what are they doing? I mean, really? How do you answer that question? It's not really cut and dry that you think. you watch others. And by this, I mean, when you walk into a room, you see what activities people are engaged in. You look at their body language. I mean, we all beam when we talk about what we want to provide. And so, and you also try to discern their aptitudes and energy level, which is really important. Watching can also help you to connect with others one-on-one. So always believe the best in people. This next quote is from, and instead of writing it out, I left it in the book. Management is about persuading people to do things they do not want to do, while leadership is about inspiring people to do things they never thought they could. And this is a very important quote. And Steve Jobs, we all know what he's done. But by this quote, I simply mean, or he means, that you make sure that you treat, train, and share your vision equally with them. Why? Because they both have the same the potential. Everyone could do what Steve Jobs has done. You just need to communicate it to them. And this next gentleman, pastor and professor Calvin Miller, he expresses the way an audience feels by these factors. They want to be inspired and someone to believe in them. I mean, how many times do we talk to someone and they inspire us, but it really wasn't helpful to you. It was just, oh, well, here's another client. And so they want to be challenged, meaning us, want to be challenged, motivated, and encourage them to be all they can be. Really, that's very important. So what people need to see, name one thing that you do not want to see in a speaker. Linda?
Making it all about them, that gets old in about half a second.
Exactly. Mason?
That's actually what I was going to say because I've seen it so many times. What you don't want to hear someone like that is they're not even trying to connect with you.
Yeah.
You should be thankful they're talking to you. You should be grateful they're talking to you. How lucky you are they're talking to you.
Yes. Yes, I've
met those people.
Yes. Kathy, what about you?
Well, for me, I'll take it a step further. I know some folks are introverts. I get that. But what really kind of bothers me is when someone is so charismatic on stage, and then as soon as their presentation is over, they chop you off the knees. It's almost like they have to flip this light switch on and they're just this charismatic, you know, speaker. And then as soon as their presentation is over, if you see them in the hallway, they don't give you the time of day. And you're feeling when they're up there that, wow, this person really gets me. And then by the time you see them in the hallway and you try to have an exchange with them and they brush you off or worse, it just kind of spoils the whole thing because you then realize that that was put on. And so I guess the moral of that story for me is I think when we're giving to our audience that it's something that we have to become, not something that we put on and wear.
Yeah. And I'll add one other thing to that. How many times do you go to something like this and you never see them? Mm-hmm. They're in the back room, nothing. You don't even know where they are. They're so invisible. And that's, excuse me. I always get halfway through this and go, lose it. So I totally agree. An audience wants to see your conviction, your credibility, and your character. And author Brad Cork states that connecting has a lot to do with letting who you are influence everything you do. That does not mean you go hide in the back room until it's all over with, and then you sneak out the backstage door into a limousine, and you never connect with the audience. What people need to feel. Hang on. One more. Let's see. Okay. Oops. My next quote. Oh, here it is. this is in regards to what people need to feel. And this is really, Kathy talks about it all the time. And we all do. It's people will not always remember what you said or what you did, but they will always remember how you made them feel. That is an extremely important factor for connectors to remember, and when they're preparing to speak to us. So they want to feel your passion for the subject and them, because a lot of people just do the passion for the subject and they don't care about their audience. Passion is powerful. It supersedes mere spoken words. Joyce McMurrin stated that, and I love this, vision without passion is a picture without possibilities. That says a whole lot right there in itself. And it's one that you would want to put right above your computer, so that you could see that, especially every time you want to speak on Zoom, okay? The Ritz-Carlton president host, Horace Schultz, stated, "You are nothing unless it comes from the heart." So with that, I'm going to say, ask yourself these four questions. Do I believe in myself? Has it changed me? Do I believe it will help others? And have I seen it change others? Because nothing's more satisfying than knowing that that someone has done what you suggested and they've overcome and become what they want to be. Passion comes from a very deep place, other than just whipping listeners to get excited. I mean, you listen to them talk about the fact that if you do this, this, and this, you'll make thousands of dollars every month. I mean, that's not true. You know, really, it's not true. So, and people have a tendency to forget that they're just selling themselves. They're not selling anything to help you. So people need to feel your confidence. Well, first off, let me ask as a group, do you agree with these four questions? Is there one you would add to it or take out in those four questions? Kathy, Linda, Mason?
I think they're kind of getting to the core of things. So yeah, I like the questions.
Good.
Thank you. I like the questions too. Yeah.
So, like I stated, people need to feel your confidence in yourself and them. When you have created passion, it is the only way to motivate people. But is passion alone enough for some people? Not really. They have to have a little bit. Mason?
Your comment a moment ago, you have to have confidence in yourself. I would almost modify that. Have confidence in your subject, your topic, whatever. And if you're uncomfortable, communicate that. Because then because that discomfort will show when you're talking to people. If you communicate that discomfort, then they'll know it's not in my subject, like, oh, I'm trying to scam Debbie. It's okay. Yeah, I'm good about this, but I'm uncomfortable talking to you. And that, once again, establishes your credibility that you know your subject, you're uncomfortable, but it also connects you because you're being a little vulnerable to your audience, your person you're talking to. So that your discomfort in front of a crowd isn't misconstrued as, I don't know my subject matter, or I don't believe in my subject matter.
That's an excellent point, Mason. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. Kathy, Linda, did you have anything you wanted to add? Okay, thanks. Let's see. You will see that your confidence in them will give them the ability to say yes to the question, can I do this? I mean, I think that's a very important point to bring out, because can I do this? Well, sure. You, like me, 2 years ago, I was in the very beginning of moving forward, becoming a more outward speaking person and learning the right way to do things. So my answer to this is, yeah, I have the ability. And I can do this, and I am doing this. If you are someone not overflowing with natural confidence, well, 10 years ago, I would have been in that boat. But, and I did not have the heart for this. You will still be able to help others. Yeah, because sometimes you'll have an inspirational thought, even though you'll say it and then you go, where did that come from? How many times has that happened to you? The next point is, people need to feel your gratitude for them. I mean, really, you want to feel like you're giving something of importance, value. So the last component is very simple, gratitude. And for your listeners, when you see them so inspired that they take to heart what you say, be grateful that you have reached them. Don't be, you know, such, oh yeah, I knew you would do that, you know, have a non-caring attitude. Of all the virtues, gratitude is probably the most neglected and least expressed. And that's true for some people. Inspiration at the highest level. Connection provides the bridge between this is how and begin now. So when do people take action? Saying the right words at the right time. In other words, don't, as a lot of people say, don't throw up all over them, because then it's too much information. And give people an action plan. In other words, give them one step to follow and then move on to the next step. Because like I said, you don't want to give them too much information and it'll go in one ear and out the other. And how many times do you talk to people and that happens and you don't even realize it? So connectors inspire people to move from know how to do now. Say that three times. So John likes to use the acronym ACT. A stands for what you learn that they need to apply. C is what you learned that you need to change. Very, very important. Slow step, baby steps. And T stands for what you learned that you need to teach. Act on one thing first. And they say to do this within the first 24 hours. This, by doing this action, it can be very life-changing for so many people. And I will attest to that. If I hadn't started acting 2 years ago, I mean, Kathy and I have been together for like 7 years now. So, you know, I've been following her since 2015. So by doing this, I feel my life has changed drastically. So in conclusion, it is simple. Make a commitment to continually inspire others. Raymond Masters commented, our society seems to go from inspiration to inspiration. How many times have we seen that happen? Basically looking for the next best thing that will make them feel good. But then they don't do anything about it. I mean, how many times have you been given a great plan, a great great plan to follow, but you don't do it? And does this sound right? How many can sound familiar to you? Anybody want to make a quick comment? Mason, thank you. So from the actor Will Smith said, the way I like to measure greatness, he once said, the way I like to measure greatness is, how many people do you affect in your time on earth? How many people can you affect? How many people can you want to be better? Or how many people can you inspire? In the end, what good is our communication if its impact ends the moment we stop speaking? And to end, it says, the true test of inspiration is action. This is what makes the difference. So with that, I am going to close out my class of months. And is there any comments? I thank you all for being here today. this was a very long and thought-provoking chapter, but I found I even learned things that are significant. Not necessarily things to change, but things that maybe I could do just a little bit better. So, and I will openly admit that I am not perfect, but someday maybe, but no. Anybody have any comments, questions that they would not only like to share with us, but the audience when they listen to the recording? Linda.
In regard to what you had just shared, that's so true. That is the real beauty of being a teacher, is that you learn so darn much in the process, and you solidify in a deeper way what you kind of thought you knew or what you had a minimal grasp on. Then you just get so much more solid with it.
Yeah, thank you. And I do feel, you know, it's like, okay, I want to read in between the chapters what I've missed, but it's significant. Kathy?
Well, I want to add, when you were talking about giving bite-sized pieces so that your audience isn't overwhelmed, and give them something, you know, an action to do to help push them and inspire them in the right direction. I just want to say that that's why I like a 5-day masterclass or mastermind better than just a single masterclass. I've seen some of these masterclasses advertised, you know, and the information is something that I'm kind of interested in, that I think, oh, if something comes along, I need to explore that. So then I see one and I'm just at the exploration stage. And sometimes they put so much in that 1-day summit or that 1-day masterclass that I take all of these furious notes never to be seen again. You know, because then I have to get back to life. You know, I mean, the laundry still needs done. And I, you know, I, for those that are listening, I run a guest house. And so I've got guests coming and going. And so then I have to, you know, divert my attention back to the day-to-day chores. And after a while, that full page of notes that I furiously took ends up at the bottom of the stack somewhere. And by the time I get back to it, it doesn't resonate with me the way it did the day I took the notes. And so that's why I like, you know, something in more in step-by-step process, a 5-day challenge or 5-session mastermind, something where I can put into action smaller bites and smaller pieces of the puzzle. And I seem to accomplish more that way. So I learn better that way. So I can only assume that maybe others learn better that way as well. So that's just my comment.
Yeah. Mason?
The whole idea of taking action when you should take action just resonates. Hits way too close to home for me. And yeah, I embody that in way too many levels, in way too many areas.
Yeah.
That's an important function or question statement. Taking action.
Thanks, Mason.
And keep in mind that action comes first and clarity comes second.
Exactly.
A lot of times we want to sit and think about something or try to design something in our minds, thinking that we have to have full clarity before we can take action. But action comes first. And Mason, I'm so proud of you. For those that don't know, Mason has published some works now, and he has sat down and figured it out. He took action. And I'm sure that you now have more clarity on how to do that than when you started, because the action came first and the clarity came second as you were uploading your journals and the different things that you're publishing. And so that's a perfect lesson to take action first.
But more importantly is I did that because after being told only about 3,452 times that I wasn't taking action, that maybe by the 3,453rd time, I may have listened and just did something to see what would happen. I wish I was exaggerating on the number. I don't think I am. It's the taking that action to get yourself comfortable. You know, it's I made a journal, ordered my own copy. I was so proud of it, got there, realized I didn't have my name on it as an author anywhere. Now, it shouldn't have been on there as a journal. It doesn't need to be on there. It's not even appropriate. But the point being, I didn't even recognize that. I assumed it and I learned something. Mm-hmm. So, but now I feel better that I did a second, you know. So it's taking that action and how hard it is to take that first step and like that. So when you say those things, Debbie, that's the taking action piece and then the connecting piece. And when I talk about the idea of being vulnerable, when you're a speaker, those things all tied together. They're one big, you know, ball of twine.
Yeah. And you just keep adding one more rubber band, you know, each time. And I mean, that goes right along with what Kathy was saying about you watch something that you're interested in. And I will totally admit, I'm one of those. But, and you take the notes and then you add it to the pile that, okay, I'll read it later. But that before you know it, that pile is this big. Mm-hmm. And you go, by the time you get to it, it was like you said, what was she telling me? I can't understand this. But you guys have been super great today. I appreciate all of your input. And I'm looking forward to taking and listening to Mason for the next 5 months. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm really interested in this. And by the way, I loved your book. The one you haven't published yet, the one you sent us.
We'll talk about that later, because what I really want to hear is what you didn't like about it. Oh. It's always nice to hear something's good. Yeah. But for any of these topics, for developing your mastermind, for being the actual speaker, it is nice when someone says you do a good job, but I would rather be honest enough to myself to say, okay, but what did I mess up and why? And then give somebody permission to tell you that. So when you do these masterminds, when you do these talks, give someone either overt or passive permission to comment back to you. One, that helps you learn. Two, if you actually listen, you have just connected in such a significant manner, you know. So when you actively ask for feedback and then take the time to listen to it, that's what will help you connect with anybody, you know. And I have encountered hostile audiences, and I've encountered people in my face, who do you think you are? Type, and that's a real conversation, by a real story. But you connect with them by listening to what they're saying. And then, you know, I guess I'm going too far. The connection by listening to that statement and asking for it and welcoming it, and then take action as or if appropriate. So we can talk offline about that.
Well, everyone, thank you for those comments. And I will say to the audience that's going to be listening later to the replay, go back to January, see where I started, see how I was, and learn. I'm openly admitting that how I was in January is totally different than the way I am right now today, May, with doing these classes. And I take criticism. Because like you, everyone has said, you learn from these mistakes, and it's up to you to correct them, change them, and move on. Because a lot of people will listen to the criticism, go and hide in a corner and say, oh, I can't do that. So, you know, nobody likes me or whatever. So I thank you all so much. This has been very, very good for me today. And I hope it's been good for you guys and the ones that are listening to the replay. So yes. I'll turn it back over to you, Kathy.
Thank you so much. Debbie, you did a wonderful job. I love that you decided to go forward and do this. I know when I asked you, you were like, oh, am I ready? I said, oh yeah, you're ready. And again, I knew that action had to come first. And so you have a lot more clarity now that you've done 5 sessions. And so I think as you're listening now, it's going to make more sense to you, to all of us that have done this. Once you do a 5-session Zoom call of any kind, you have a lot more clarity on how, you know, you say, oh, I would have done that different, or I could do this better, or I could do. And that's how we learn, is by watching each other and taking the good parts and pieces of it and incorporating that into what we're doing. So I appreciate all of you coming on board. And like you, Debbie, I can't wait to hear Mason and his topic. This is going to be fun to segue off of John Maxwell's book and start on different topics. And so for those of you that are listening in, if you want to practice your 5-day challenge, this is the safe place to practice it. So, you know, brush off your material, get it ready. Even if you're not quite ready, remember action comes first. And you know, we're nice people. We'll guide you along. So come on board and practice your 5-day challenge so that you're ready to launch. And Linda, don't forget to put the link in the chat, your affiliate link for, I think it's what, bunny.net. But anyhow, you've got an affiliate link there. So pop that in there, and I'll put that with the description of this video as well. So anyone that's listening to the video and says, gee, I'd like to check that out, there will be a link for you to check it out. And make sure it says to everyone when you type it in there. Sometimes it just goes to the panelist. So anyway, any aha moments as we close out for today? I think my biggest aha moment is to just go, just start, just, you know, when I have that feeling, and remember I said, it's what we become, it's not what we put on. And when I have that feeling in my very being and I'm inspired and I go, wow, this is something I know a lot of folks that I know really need to know this or hear this, make a note of that and start putting a program together around that, a way to present that information, because somebody out there needs it, or you wouldn't have that message inside of you. You know, it comes back around to what comes first, the chicken or the egg. You know, do you create a program and then find people that need it, or do people need it? And that's where that inspiration comes into you to create the program. And so I think folks need it already. And that's where that inspiration comes to you to create the program, because you know there's a need out there. Okay. So anyway, keep that in mind. Yes, Debbie.
Linda, did you put that link in there? Because I don't see it.
Yeah, she said she's got to get it and she'll send it to me to include in the notes. So
okay. Okay. Yeah,
so
thanks.
We're good. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. So anyway, pay attention to those feelings that you have, those inspirations that you have. Those are divine inspirations that you can, you know, bring to your audience. And so pay attention to those when those come across your mind and across your heart. Put those down, pen and paper, put pen to paper and make a note of those, because those are inspirations that are worth remembering. So join in. We are going to be here again the fourth Friday of every month at 10 a.m. So on June 23rd, Mason, you're going to be front and center. And in the meantime, Mason's going to get me just an overview of his information, what he's talking about. So we'll get it posted for everyone.
Stay put after you, when you're done recording, stay put. I want to show you that flyer to see if that's close.
Okay. Mason's putting his notes together already. So we're going to have those available for everyone once we start. So yes, Linda.
Just a quick question about how the format will be going forward. Is it another book that we'll be going through, or can it be any material, not book-based, or how does that work?
It can be any material. I want you to take something that you're bringing to the world anyway and putting it out there to get some good critique feedback. Any other questions, comments, aha moments? Any aha moments from anyone today?
Nope.
All right. So we'll see everyone next month on June 23rd.